May 7th, 2024, we're in Masechet Bava Kaman, Daf Kafvav Amud Bet. If you count from the bottom of the Amud up, it's eight lines up. Just three words onto the line. Says the Gemara, Ve'amar Rabbah. We're in the midst, if you recall, different situations which Rabbah brought forth, explaining what the halakha would be, sometimes breaking it down, explaining in this circumstance, and for this halakha, how it would apply, and others not. And the last one we saw was the one that we're already familiar with from Daf Yod Zayin, and that was if a person threw a utensil off the top of a roof and there was someone waiting to smash it at the bottom, Mana Tevira Tavar, the famous halakha over there. Ve'amar Rabba, almost just as famous, Zara Keli Mirosh HaGag, Vayu Tahtav Karim Okesatot. Instead of the situation where the utensil is thrown from the top of the roof and there's someone waiting to smash it at the bottom, it's quite the opposite. At the bottom, on the ground, there are blankets and pillows. There's something which is going to blunt the fall. And as a result, by throwing it off, it won't get damaged. However, ba'aher v'silekan, someone else shows up on the scene and moves away those karim or kesatot, the pillows or the blankets. Rashi adds in, even though the Gemara says the word ba'aher, Rashi says va'afiluhu atzmo, even if he himself does it. We'll address that in a moment. Yes, you say ma'ba'aref. He's got a stick down to the bottom, and he pushes it away with that. How about that? Or yes, he's the Flash. Or kadam v'silekan. Oh, the Gemara says. Excuse me, Rashi's not the only one. The Gemara itself says. Oh, kadam v'silekan. Or he himself gets ahead of it and does it himself. Okay, the Gemara explicitly states so. Patur, in such a circumstance, you're patur. Why is the person who removes them patur? Shouldn't he be hayav? It's not like the earlier case where by throwing the utensil is already broken. Over here, the utensil was not broken, and in turn, these items are what's making it full. By moving these items away, you should be liable, answers the Gemara. Mai ta'ama, what's the reasoning? Be'idna, at the time, dishadye, that it was thrown, pasuke mafseke gire, which literally means gira is a arrow. Lehafsik means to stop or to break. The arrow was broken. In other words, at the moment that this item is thrown, the item has broken arrows being shot at it. In other words, it's not going to be damaged. What about the person who removes it at the bottom? Rashi, if you take a look at the left-hand side at Rashi, patur Shahare mizrikato, because from the throwing, en sofo lishaber, it's certainly not going to break, ad shiyinatelu hakarim, until the pillows and blankets are taken away. So as a result, the person who threw it is throwing broken arrows. He's not liable. What about the person who took the blankets and pillows away? V'zeshe natal hakarim v'afilu hazorek atzmo natelan patur. Why? Why should he be patur? Digrama benizakin have. I'm almost scared to address this with everyone. We're already somewhat allergic to girama in nezek. What's the reason? Because it's an indirect damage which is caused. In other words, in this circumstance and situation, the person who's, so to speak, bringing forth the damage is only causing it. He's not actually touching anything. He's not actually putting into motion anything to the object which is breaking. He's removing, and by so doing, we say it's indirect, and gerama benizikin is patur. That's the person who threw it is patur for a different reason. Yeah, because yeah, because zero plus zero still equals zero. It was gerama. Nobody.
It's that he himself throw it and he himself move it. He intended to break it.
Yes. This is not about intentionality. This is about a question about whether both of them you're patur. It's not a question about intention. We know your intention. Settle your matters b'dei shamayim. We can't make you liable here. Tosafot does address very briefly the bottom second to last Tosafot. It says Piresh Rav Alfas de Rabba leTa'ame deLet leDina deGarmi Beresh Hagozel Kama uLeRinira deHagerama benizakinhu uPatul leKule Alma. Now, unfortunately, this is not a sugya we can get into right now. We can just quickly refer to it. It's on Daf Tzadir Het. It'll cause more headaches, but beautiful ones. Over there, the Gemara talks about a new concept known as Garmi. It's not so new for us. We learned about it in Sanhedrin at one point as well. Anyway, the concept on Daf Tzadir Het in Bava Kama, Garmi, there's a four or five way mahlok at Rishonim as to what's the distinction, but I'll tell you the cases at the very least. A case where you're soref shtarotav shel havero. I take your document, not money per se, document with which you're going to redeem money. It's the document which says you're owed $1 million. It's the document, your lotto ticket, and so forth. And I burn that, garmi. That's closer to liability, and there's a machloket about whether you're hayav over there. I take your coin, and I throw it into the sea. I took the coin in my hands, and I threw it into the sea. You can still retrieve it, technically. I take your coin, and I deface it. At a time when coins' value was based on, you know, what you found on it, I deface it, and so forth. Cases of that sort are what's called garmi. Would this case be an our Gemara garmi? Well, of course, it depends. What's the definition of garmi? One of the more, the Chachmei Sefarad, Rashba, Ramban, I think, among others, maybe Ramban, more specifically, Ramban Nahmani. Ramban Nahmani, as a matter of fact, wrote a full, that's Ramban, the one that we know. He wrote something called Kuntres Dinad de Garmi. So he wrote a full essay on Garmi, and he addresses issues of Girama and Garmi and so forth. You know we're dealing with something severe if the Rishonim are writing full essays on this. Anyway, his definition of Garmi is something that's more bari hezeka, something that you assume more readily is actually for sure going to take place, as opposed to gerama might have some doubt associated with it. Is that easy to link in over here? Each of those opinions, when we get to Daf Tzadir Het, there's five or four approaches in the Rishonim need to be addressed in context of this gemara. But Tosafot says either this is garmi and Rabba's personal opinion is your patura and garmi, or this is not garmi, this is gerama, and it'll be dependent upon how you define that. I don't think it's appropriate for us to really enter into this right now, but we should be aware of it. We should have our heads thinking about that a little bit. That's this case in the Gemara. We have more. And if you're disturbed already, just wait. Ve'amar Rabba, zarak tinok merosh hagag. What if a person, lo aleinu, throws a baby or pushes a baby off of the top of a roof? Uba acher v'kibbelo b'saif. And someone at the bottom is holding or comes ahead and holds a knife. And the baby is not going to survive without hitting the knife. And certainly hitting the knife, it dies then as well. The terrible circumstance. So what's the halakha with regards to the, well, each of them? Pelukta de Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera v'Rabbanan, says the Gemara, this would be contingent upon Mahloket of Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera and Chachamim, which we already addressed. We saw it in Sanhedrin, we saw it on Daf Yod in Masechet Bava Kama. Before moving on, where Tosafot at the bottom just matter-of-factly states that the Gemara on Daf Ayin Het in Sanhedrin, over there we're dealing with Harag et Haterefa. Maybe I shouldn't even, I'm going to get killed for this one. Probably did, listen to the recordings. Daf Ayin Het, the situation over there, someone's a terefa. Terefa means he has internally an organ which is punctured. He's going to die within 12 months. We know that medically or rabbinic medically. And as a result, he's a dead man walking, and you, not you, someone comes ahead and kills him. Are they liable for death penalty? They certainly did the wrong thing. We'll incarcerate them and all that sort of stuff. They're not liable for death penalty. They're terefa. They're killing a gavra kitila, an already, quote-unquote, dead man. As Tosafot, why is that any different than our case? The baby in the air is a terefa. It's certainly going to die. Why is it any different than a person who's got an internal blemish, internal organ, which is severed, which is punctured, going to die? You kill them, you're not liable for death penalty. Over here, you're telling me some sort of, we'll address what it is in a moment, mahlok, a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera and Chachamim, shouldn't be. Everybody should agree, patur, says Tosafot, ladame leharag terefa de patur. It's not similar to that case in Sanhedrin. Why not? Lekulei alma, according to everyone, be'eluhin ani srafim. Period, that's it. Tosafot doesn't explain why. Oh, what's the difference? If you look in Shita Mekubetz, he quotes from Rimegas. Rimegas suggests that the difference is, not too hard to wrap your head around, but you need to slice very finely and sensitively over here, is when you're dealing with terefa, it's what's called a re'uta begufa, which means to say the person has a blemish internally. That person will, lo aleinu, die just because of who they are. Not because they're in the air. There's nothing to save them over here. It's certain that the person is a dead man walking. Over here, the baby is a live baby. It happens to be in the air. It's more of an external cause which is causing this, and argues Rimigash that that's why I'm distinguishing. Our Gemara says it's not really 100% dead in this circumstance when he's in the air, as opposed to the Terefa. Terefa has what's called the Re'uta Begufa, Re'uta Milashon Ra. There's something negative on its body as opposed to this baby. Yes, there is a very, very far off chance that someone could, in theory, what's that?
Well, the baby might not die.
Right? No, that's the point. Thrown from the roof, it might not die. Right. In other words, there's a very small, minuscule chance. That's probably the easiest way to explain this distinction, as opposed to when it's internal, means it's there's no chance of it.
Actually, threw what? Was only the guy throwing it off, not the guy hitting it on the back.
The guy who threw it off is liable. Over here, right, for some reason. So Jeff says, what's it? Before we read onward, he says, you need to realize, and we didn't address this just yet, that this is same Rabbah, and same issue, just in replacing a utensil with a human being. With a utensil, we said the person who threw it is liable. It's the person who hits it who's not liable. Over here, we're saying, if you listened carefully, that it's possible that both of them are exempt. Possible the last one will be liable, but both are exempt. How would you argue that? It has to be some halakha about killing, which is different than damaging. Says the Gemara, how so? It's a dependent upon pilukta. Pilukta, we've said so many times, the word peleg means to split, like peleg ha-mincha. It's half of mincha. That's what the word means. Pilukta means there's a mahlokeh. It means they're split on this matter. Who is? Rabbi Yehuda ben Betira and Rabbanan. Detanya, here's the beraita. Hikuhu asara bene adam be'asara maklot. A terrible circumstance. 10 men surround another, 10 people surround another, and they begin beating at that individual, and ultimately speaking, kill them. Ben bevatahat ben bezeachaze, whether they take turns or whether they say 1, 2, 3, strike. What's the halacha according to Hachamim? Kulan peturin, they are all exempt. They're all exempt from death penalty. Why are they all exempt from death penalty? Well, our Gemara doesn't tell us why. The Gemara in Daf Yod, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, explains the Doresh Pasuk. The Pasuk in the Torah says, V'ish kiyake kol nefesh adam. What does it mean? It means if a person strikes the whole soul of another person, it means you need to be the person, if you're going to be liable for death penalty, who strikes the whole soul of the other person.
Don't we learn that the final blow,
God gives the... Not Hachamim, Rabbi Yehuda ben, you're ahead of me. We're going to learn it here also. That's a good memory. So Hachamim's opinion is that kol means you need to be taking the whole life, not just the final blow. Rashi and Daf Yod added, for one reason or another, that and we don't know who's the one who took the whole thing. In other words, in them doing it all at once, one after another, who's the one? But why he says that is a separate conversation. But that being the case, according to Hachamim Patur, that would be similar to our case, Jeffrey, right? Our case, person who, lo alein, who throws the baby off the roof, one who receives it at the bottom and has the knife, both of them were a part of this. Neither one of them was the whole thing, so to speak. Neither one of them caused all the death. And as a result, it's a terrible, hard thing to swallow. Neither one of them will be liable for death penalty. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera disagrees. As Alan said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera omer bezeh harzeh, provided that it's one after the other, Hayav. The last one will be Hayav mipene shekirev mitato. Because we say about him, he moved up, he made quicker the death of this individual. It was, but kirev mitato. He brought it forth, yes. And what's the derasha? What does he do with the pasuk of ishkiyake kol nefesh? He says the word kol can be translated in Hebrew as one of two opposite interpretations. Kol means the entirety, or kol means kol shehu, any amount. All of means just, you know, his life, any part of it, just end up taking his life, or it means the entirety of it. All right, that's what the Gemara says. It's mahlok between the Yehuda ben Betira and Chachamim on this. What about Bashor v'kebelo bekarnav? What if a ox comes and it's not a person holding a knife at the bottom, but one man throws a baby off the roof, and an ox owned by a person, adding details that the Gemara assumes you realize, and it's a shor mu'ad, What do we know about Ashur Mu'ad with regards to killing a human being? That's a new liability known as kofir. We talked about kofir a little bit ago, right? Whereas a short time, killing a person is put to death and liabilities and everything. Ashur Mu'ad has extra liability. The extra liability is called kofir. The Gemara is only going to focus now on kofir. Before we talk about kofir, let's talk about an animal receiving at the bottom this baby which fell. Should we say that it's any different than the Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitran Hachamim? Right. Should we say it's any different than the sword? Why?
Because the
sword
can't time the
horn
in the same way that a person...
I don't know. It's not about timing. I'm standing with it, let's say, or my animal standing there at the bottom. Ultimately speaking, there is... ultimately. Good. The shore comes, you're right, with kavana lehazik, with intention to kill. It sees the baby coming down and it can time it. It's 1, 2, 3, and Sammy the shore slams into it. What do you want me to tell you? That's what happens. It's coming, it sees it, and then it charges into it, or charges into it, and receives it on its head. You're right. It has to be kavanato lehazik. Otherwise, it's not going to be this. Okay, but that's the case. Is it any different than with the knife? Knife as well. You walked in. It shouldn't be. The simple interpretation of this Gemara is there's no difference. And as a result, this safek of the Gemara is... Oh, what's that? It would be dependent upon the mahlok Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitran Hachamim. And for that reason, we're only zoning in on this issue called kofir. In other words, with regards to death penalty, with regards to that liability, this issue doesn't begin. It's the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitran Hachamim. Rabbeinu Hananeh learns the Gemara a little bit differently, one way or another. He learns this Gemara even according to Hachamim. Simple interpretation is this Gemara is only going to Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitran. The question is there the extra liability of kofir, right? We're we for sure kill the animal. For sure kill the animal. The question is twofold. Number one, do you... question is twofold. Number one, do we kill the animal? That's question number one. So mahlokir hachamim and Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitran. Why would it be any different? So we're going to go with Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitran that you're liable for killing. Okay, that's where we're going to start. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitran, that we're saying that you're liable for killing, the Alan Malik claim that you kirev mitato, are you also hayav for what's called kofir? That's the question. That's the easiest way to learn this Gemara. That's the way Rashi, and to the best of my knowledge, the majority learn this. Rabbeinu Hananeh, a bit different. Anyway, says the Gemara, what about kofir? Does the owner of that animal now need to pay kofir? Why shouldn't he have to pay kofir? If you're making him liable for killing, why not kofir? Says the Gemara, because it's going to be a pelukta that Rabbi Ishmael ben Osher shel Yohanan ben Beroka ve'Rabbanan. It'll be dependent upon a famous dispute about how to determine kofir, which in turn will describe to us something deeper, perhaps, over here. What's this question? It's a question, as we've discussed more than once, with regards to this concept known as kofir. Well, what are you paying? Am I paying the value of the damaging party or the value of the damaged or killed party? In other words, I'm seeking atonement. That's the concept. The concept of kofir is kapara. How do I achieve atonement? Do I atone myself by paying for what I made loss? Or do I atone myself by paying for, quote unquote, myself? That's the machloket. D'tanya v'natan pidyon nafsho. The pasuk in the Torah says, if your shor mu'ad kills a person, you pay pidyon, the redemption of nafsho, of your soul, or of the soul. Which soul? Whose soul? Demen izak. Hachamim's opinion is you pay the redemption of the soul that you killed, that your animal killed. That's the value. Rabbi Ishmael ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka omer demen mazik. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka alternatively says, person who owns the animal, he's liable for the kofir, and so you're evaluating his life. And his life, however you evaluate that, the Gemara later will explain that to us, that's what you're paying. Well, what's the difference? What does it have to do with us? As a baby, well, let's listen again to the situation where the baby, lo aleinu, is being thrown off the roof. Now, what's being paid? The value of the life of the owner of that animal? That has a value. I own this animal. I have a value right now. I don't know. I'm going to figure out how do you determine what would I be sold as a slave. But there's a value. Maybe I'm worth a lot. Maybe I'm not in great shape. Maybe not so much. But whatever. There's going to be a value. But what if you're determining based on the value of the nizak, the one who got damaged, the one who got killed, the baby who's in the air is going to die. It's worth just about $0.000, which means to say, says the Gemara, kofin would be split according to the approach that it's demen nizak. According to the Hachamim, that we evaluate paying kofin based on that.
He was going to die. His value was worth nothing.
How much is someone, well, you know, we want to bet on this one. You're going to take it to the bet. But he doesn't. He's in the air. We're putting this up.
But there's 100 people there on the pillows.
No pillows.
No pillows here.
It's not the case.
Right now, no one's liable for the baby.
This is an overtime with 5 seconds left and you're down by 20. Who's putting money on this game?
We're down 9.
No, that's 17 seconds and down 9. It's very different. I think that's what it was. It was very different. That's why I said on purpose, down by 20. I'm not getting into Reggie. Right now, nobody is liable for the baby's death. No. That's the machlok of Yudam Teran Hachanan. Two things. The baby's death, we said just a moment ago, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira says, just like if you strike 10 separate people, the last guy's liable, so too the one who, the animal who charges in. Same thing. Because Hachamim say not liable. Hachamim say you can't split this between the two. The only way we're going to make liability is if one person causes the whole death damage. Over here, you have two people, you have a person and an animal, not liable. We're assuming liable, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, that's how we're learning the Gemara, like Rashi, and now saying, okay, above the liability of the baby which died, what about the payment of kofir, which is a lot of money. This is a lot of extra money in terms of extracting from the person who caused the damage. So that's what we're saying is dependent upon Rabbi Yishmael and Hachamim. According to Hachamim, you're going based on Dmei Nizak, which means you're paying zero for that, for kofir, not for damage. According to Bishmael, so you're going based on Mazik, the person who damaged, the owner of that animal, has a lot of money. No, it's not accidental. It's absolutely purposeful. And all of this is purposeful. Say it again. Which Hachamim? Hachamim Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, Hachamim b'Yishmael. Okay, Hachamim of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, you don't get involved in liabilities to begin with, according to Rashi's interpretation, because you're exempt from Nezik to begin with. You're not the murderer, Kol Nefesh. That's only by utensil. Because Gezerat HaKatub by human beings, Ishkia ke Kol Nefesh. That's what Jeffrey says.
The second he threw it.
No, but the person who threw it? The person who threw it should be fully liable. Rashi Peturin, the top of the Amud, Deba'inan, because you need Shiake Kol Nefesh Adam, Kol HaNefesh. Ve'en Kan Make Kol HaNefesh. Nobody is striking his whole soul. Upturim Mimita. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Hayav Ze Shekibelo B'Saif Mipene Shekirev Mitato. Rashi doesn't help us. Judah's question is that the person who throws the baby should be Hayav, even though he did it. Even though he didn't ultimately take the life of the baby, even though his actions not. No, but I get he's arguing that Bildam Tera is strike. He says it's not the same as our case because over here the first strike is going to kill him. But it's not really. It's Kirev Mitato. It's the same thing. In other words, What are the words? Which means this person was going to die, but guy number 10 brought it quicker. So that's probably the case over there as well. It's going to die. What? Of course he was. Seconds before he hits the ground. The baby would have hit the ground. Instead, it's, 3 seconds earlier he dies. That in and of itself is significant to say it wasn't kol nefesh. So again, you could, and we do, with regards to damage of a utensil, when it comes to a human being, we say every second matters. And so yes, manat tevirat tavar doesn't apply to a human being.
Responsible for the utensil, responsible for the baby. That's what I'm saying.
With regards to a terefa, no, you're making the argument. With regards to a terefa, if you're horeg a terefa, we say you're patur. That's not going to help you. That's going to hurt you. With regards to a terefa, if you strike a terefa, you're patur because he's already. So you have to revert back to Rimigas on that and say that there's a distinction between if the body is literally already dead or it's in the air. Yeah.
Why is the guy in the sword unreliable? In this case, if you want to say the guy's throwing it, it's not because he lost a second.
The baby, I didn't take this sword and shove it into the baby. The baby was rushing through the air, was already on its way to death. I didn't take its whole soul. The person who threw it began it.
The thrower is responsible.
But he's not, because I brought, me holding the knife, brought his death seconds earlier.
The rabbi, they both had to.
The utensil throws it off.
By Nezik. By nezik, by damage on Daf Yod Zayin, that was our question. By a human being, it goes by, did you take the whole thing or not? We're going by the finish over here, yes. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, kol shehu, goes by the finish, no question. Ve'amar Rabba, nafal merosh hagag, this is no doubt the most, this is the high school, maybe elementary school favorite in Masechet Bava Kama. This I remember vividly. It was a seventh grader, trying to figure out what was wrong with the rabbis. Ve'amar Abba nafal merosh hagag. If an individual falls from the top of a roof, v'nitka bi'isha, and he falls into a woman in a sexual fashion. His organ enters into the organ of a woman. That's the way it works. He falls and he enters into the woman. Hayav ba'arba'a devarim. That's right. What do you want me to say? I'm not. You could. They did. Okay. Hayav ba'arba'a devarim. It's hayav. Not only can you, I want you to know this. I taught this some years ago. I don't remember. And some kid found online some case where someone claimed in court that this is what happened. Now, he lost the case, if I remember correctly. But the individual made up. He says, no, I didn't mean to do this. I fell off and I entered it. Okay. And as I... He was Talmudic, yeah, that's right. V'nitka be'isha, what's the halakha in this crazy situation? Hayav b'arba'a devarim. It's hayav arba'a devarim. Now, you have to understand, we generally assume arba'a devarim means everything but nezik. We say nezik is damage, and then there's the four additional cases, right? What are the four additional liabilities? Shevet, the loss of work. Tsar, pain, ripui, medical bills, and boshet, embarrassment. Over here, that's not what it means. Over here, what it means is, and we'll see this in a moment in the Gemara, you're hayav nezik, three, except for boshet. We're not up to that yet. One second. I didn't get up to those words. Hayav ba'arba'a devarim. So you're going to be hayav in such a circumstance, you're going to be hayav for four things. Nezik. Why? I didn't do this purpose. I fell off a roof. Ben b'shogeg, ben b'ones. You're hayav in nezik. You're hayav in these other three things. Should I be hayav in these other three things? We'll have to address... What? Not boshet. We'll have to address why. I'm just telling you that's what we mean already. Hang tight. Ubi yivimto. This is the one that Eli wants. Ubi yivimto. What's a yevama? We know yevama, parashat kitese, describes if there's two brothers, at least, and there's a wife of one of these brothers, the brother dies without children, this woman falls to the brother. He has a choice to make over here. Is he doing yibum, which is called levirate marriage, it's masechet yevamot, or he does halitza, and so he avoids it in a process called halitza. Now, yibum, as Rashi cites in masechet yevamot and daf nun gimal, the halacha is that yibum is ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid, which means to say, if this man, who's the brother, doesn't realize, a Yaakov and Leah type of situation, doesn't realize who he's having relations with, but he intends to have relations with this woman, he just doesn't know who she is. Turns out it was his former sister-in-law. She's that's you. Not yet. I'm just talking. One case. Not. I didn't pretend. I didn't read those words. I'm introducing. What is a yevama? I told you what a yevama is. Now, regular situation of a yibum circumstance. How's yibum effectuated through relations? That's how yibum works. If 1 second, not even intentional. There's a situation where Yaakov is married to Leah. Yaakov passes away. Leah falls to Esav. Now, Esav doesn't realize this is Leah. He thinks this woman is someone else. He has relations with her. He wakes up in the morning. My goodness, it was Leah. Gemara Yevamot Daf Nun Gimel says Kana, even b'shogeg, even accidental. Good. Even better, but fantastic. Yehuda and Tamar, great. Without getting into the details, Yehuda with his daughter-in-law, Tamar without realizing that it's his daughter-in-law, says Jesse would be a good yibum. He has twins from it, Peretz and Zerah. A good yibum, that's even b'shogeg. Now, says the Gemara, interestingly, now Jeffrey, says the Gemara, ubiyivimto lo kana. 1 second. So he fell off the roof, crazy situation, enters into that woman at the bottom, happens to be, it's his sister-in-law, or his former sister-in-law, who was married to his brother, and she's been waiting for his decision, and he's in her. Kinyan or no kinyan? Yeah. Lo kana. Why no kinyan? I just told you, Yehuda and Tamar, we just said, why? But we said even b'shogeg. The answer is because the action wasn't even intentional. In other words, if the action of relations is intentional, I just don't realize who it is. That's kana. If you didn't mean it at all, we have a derasha. It needs to be, at the very least, the action needs to be purposeful. Rashi, lo kana, ubi vimto lo kana, afal pi shishaninu. You start a sentence with afal pi, means even though, means something's difficult. Even though we learned in Masechet Yevamot, habal yevimto, to Mishnah, ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid, kana, the halacha is that's a kinyan word, hanemile, this is true, hecha dinit kaven lebiat isha aheret. That's when you thought you were having relations as Yehuda did with another woman. Aval ze, but this guy who fell off the roof, lo nitkaven l'shumbia. He didn't intend to have any relations. Hilkach, lo kana, therefore there's no kinyan. Okay, back in our Gemara. So again, ve'amaraban, nafal merosh agag. If a man falls from the roof, v'nitka b'isha, he ends up inside a woman. Hayav arba'a devarim, ubi'ivimto lo kana. Explains the Gemara. Here's what he's hayavin. Hayav, benezek, damage. Besa'ar, the pain that he caused her. In the 8th chapter, we explain how you determine that. Biripui, medical bills, easy to determine. Shevet, how much work was missed. Aval boshet lo, but you're not obligated for the embarrassment charge. Again, the Gemara explains how you determine that. Ditnan, why am I not liable for embarrassment charge? Ditnan, the Mishnah will tell us as well in the 8th perek. Eno chayav al haboshet. The only time that boshet is applicable, and it's very logical, by definition, generally speaking, to be embarrassed in the fullest sense, is because the person who's doing it to you has intention. If they don't have intention, as this guy who's falling off the roof does not, there's no liability of boshet. We'll deal with that when we get there as to the full grounding of it, but that's the halacha. Yes,
in all the cases we learned so far, there was no abad, but now in this case there is.
One more time? Earlier, when we were dealing with the Arba'a Devarim, we were dealing with cases where the. Earlier, when we were dealing with Arba'a Devarim. Utensils don't have Arba'a Devarim.
And the other cases are with death, so it's not death.
Is death of Arba'a Devarim is a question?
What? No, certainly not. Certainly not. No, 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 no such thing. Okay. Says the Gemara onward, but wait a second. Wait a second. Actually, even to Ve'amar Abba. Nafal merosh hagag beruach she'ena mesuya. Vehizik ubiyesh. Hayav ala nezek upatur ba'arba'a devarim. What about the following situation? The person falls from the top of a roof in a ruach she'ena mesuya. Ruach she'ena mesuya means this is a wind which is entirely unexpected. You went to the top of the roof and all of a sudden a hurricane. It's a wind which is not common and normal and expected. So that's, we talk about this with regards to mechitzot, to sukkot, with regards to erecting the wall and making sure that it can stand. This is ruach she'ena mitzuya. It's something that you couldn't and shouldn't have assumed was going to happen. And it's so strong and it's out of your control. Why is that significant? That's significant for, you remember we talked about, it's on Daf Kavzayin Amud Bet, we talked about it right when we started this sugya, Ramban Nachmani and Tosafot. Remember, what's the halakha with regards to a full-fledged onus, when it's completely out of control of the person who's Adam Mazik. So we said it was a machlok between when it's an onus, which is not onus gamur, it's an onus which can be avoided. We said according to Ramban Nachmani Hayav, according to Tosafot Patur, we got into this. So you need this case to be, if you're going to say that for Nezek it's Patur, you're going to need it to be an onus gamur. So once I told you it's a ruach she'ena mitzuya, I'm establishing it as onus gamur. Ve'amar Rabban, nafal merosh agag beruach she'ena mitzuya vehizik ubiyesh, hayav al hanezek upatur ba'arba'a devarim.
What was the wind before that?
We didn't talk about wind until now. He just fell off. It wasn't...
He
didn't fall into a woman, per se.
Before that, he fell off the roof and went into the woman, right? He jumped.
No, that case... One second. That case needs to be... That case needs to be a ruach mitzuya. That needs to be a ruach. Correct.
He knew he was going to fall. Or even he jumped, Rabbi. Why not? He jumped. He just didn't intend to. Oops, I fell over.
Yeah, the word is nafal, but right, he either jumped or is a ruach mitzuya. Is it something which is fully in his control? All right, we'll continue with this tomorrow. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.